Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hagen. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
And happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome to the Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden Show. I should say today, the Julie Hayden Chuck Bonnywell Show, Truth Straight Up. The show brought to you by happytrees.co. That's happytrees.co, a full service, great tree company. We use them and have had great luck with them, along with Denver Synergenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. You'll notice it's just me today. That's because Chuck is busily working on the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle. The paper comes out once a month, mails to roughly 75,000 homes and businesses in sort of the central Denver Cherry Creek area. Goes to the printer tomorrow. And Chuck, let's just say Chuck is not always a paradigm of getting things done ahead of time. So Chuck is frantically working on some stories there, but he'll be back on Friday. A lot to talk about today. We've got the student loan cancellation, which I think is just a reverse Robin Hood. We've got Kevin Priola being recalled already before he can even become a Democrat. But I want to start off with a request, a good thoughts and prayers request. Former Colorado legislator Kevin Lundberg, who we had on the show just Monday, he was driving back from the Mike Lindell Moment of Truth Summit, gave us a great recap of everything that happened there, was in a really kind of a bad accident. Apparently, yesterday he was working on a fence in at his home, and something happened and with a saw, and he cut off four of his fingers. Stoic guy that he was, he apparently managed to gather the fingers, gather everything up. I mean, it was just a horrific cut, obviously, and drove to the hospital. Apparently, we're told they have reestablished the fingers, reattached the fingers. He's going to be okay, but obviously going to be in the hospital for a little while, rest a little while, and I think could use all the good thoughts and prayers sent his way. So, please, if you are so inclined, go ahead and do that. The other person who could use some prayers, I think, are all of us who paid for our kids to go to college or who paid for our own college. I guess it pays to be a freeloader in this country now. Just when you think Joe Biden's economics couldn't get any worse, they do. So we're going to talk about that. And feel free, if you're on chat, if you're on Zoom, go ahead and put your comments in. I'm going to have to put my glasses on and we'll read them here on Zoom. If you want to unmute yourself and join the conversation, go ahead and talk. Camera, if you want it to. And also, if you want to call in, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. So the big news today, Joe Biden is forgiving or canceling millions of dollars of student loan debt. Now, of course, that's just a complete misnomer because you can't really, I mean, if you called your bank up and said, "Hi, I'd like you to forgive my debt, or can you cancel my debt?" You don't forgive debt or cancel the debt. This is money that's already been lent and it's already been spent. The only thing that's happening now is they're transferring the cost of it, essentially the repayment, from the people who actually borrow the money to the rest of us, right? And when you look at it, I mean, I don't really get why Joe Biden's doing it. I guess he wants to satisfy his extremely whack job progressive base. But I think there are going to be a lot of people mad about this. There already are a lot of people mad about this. And let me go over and sort of, because I did some research on this, because I got to admit, I was not totally up to speed on it. Although I will say this, I saved and paid for my daughter to go to college. She worked and paid for herself to go to college. We have been saving ever since Rev was born. He's in sixth grade now, for him to go to college. I guess we should just heck with that. Just go to college, take the loan, party with the money. Maybe don't even go to college with the loan. And then go ahead and Joe Biden and the progressive Democrats will say, "Oh, that's okay. We're just going to charge all the people who didn't go to college." So here's some statistics for you to get. In an average year, there are roughly 20 million people enrolled in a four-year college or university. What this proposal, and I guess it's going to be an executive order, it would cancel essentially $10,000 to $20,000 student loans for most of the people. I mean, they're income caps, but we all know, yeah, how they're going to be checking around that, right? What the estimate is it will cost taxpayers roughly $300 billion. And that's just the first year. Because I think the really dangerous thing of this is, okay, so Joe Biden, you know, let's say that you graduated from college 2-3 years ago, boom, your student debts, poof, like the magic fairy waved your wand, they're gone. Well, what about the kid who graduates next year or the kid who graduates the year after that? Do you really think that the Democrats are going to start that again? Do you really think that colleges are going to say, you know, actually, and universities, actually, you know, maybe the solution to this is to quit having higher and higher tuitions, right? That the government then just gives us the money for and then just tells the people you don't have to pay it back. I mean, it's just so wrong. In this country, though, to give you an idea of how lopsided this is, more than two-thirds of the people in this country did not go to a four-year college. Two-thirds did not go to a four-year college. Only 13% of those who did go to a four-year college pursued a graduate degree. But of the student loan debt that's out there, 56% of it is held by graduate students. So in other words, these are the people who are poised to make the most money, frankly, the graduate students, who are the ones who are holding most, more than half of this, these millions of dollars of student debt that's out there. How did we get here? Well, this is something else too. Apparently, the average median monthly loan payment is $222. So the Democrats are how you believe all these people are drowning in debt. They can't get ahead. These poor lawyers and doctors and, you know, all of, you know, hedge fund operator people who have their graduate degrees can't get ahead. Their $222 a month payment is killing them. So now we're going to have to make the rest of you pay it back. This all got so that prior to 1993, which is when I went to college, loans were issued by financial institutions, and then they were guaranteed by the feds. In 1993, Clinton set up essentially federal lending, right? And then in 2010, under Obama, the students now borrow directly from the federal government, right? So it's all from the federal government, which means it's all kind of taxpayers, right? We add on top of this, this is interesting, the 10 top universities, you know, Yale, Harvard, things like that, they're sitting on $20 billion in endowments. So you'd think they could maybe spend a little bit of their own money, right? But there's so many things wrong with this because it's just, and Ray interviewed, and it's just unfair to everybody. Number one, it's unfair from a financial point of view. It's unfair to the people like me who worked hard, put money aside, sacrificed to put money aside to pay for their kids' college education. It is unfair to the majority of the people who actually paid back their student loan, right? Who got a student loan and paid it back. Do they get reimbursed for this? You can bet you they sure do not get reimbursed for this. It's also, I think, unfair, I would say, to the future generations, because when you look at that, the future generations, who, what's going to happen to them, right? So your older sister got her college loan waived. You know, she doesn't have to pay it back, but now are you going to have to pay it back? And I think, Jacob, did I see you? You had your hand raised. So go ahead and just kind of jump on, turn your mic on and weigh in here if you want. It is, but it's unfair to just about everybody except this very small percentage of, guess who? The elites, who are poised to make more money off of the rest of us. I had some person was on Twitter was explaining it. It's like taking money from a plumber to pay off a lawyer's debt, right? You know, people who went to trade school, they're not going to get anything. People who went to a two-year college, they're not going to get their money back. You know, what about all the other loans that people have out? Are we going to get our money back there? And Jacob, I don't see you. So if you want to just go ahead. Sometimes I don't have everything on my screen. So go ahead. This is from Leo. Guess I should have got a grad degree during the pandemic with loans, of course. Yeah, you can't make your Tesla payments and the student loan payments at the same time. From Dr. Donna, when higher ed becomes free, it devalues the education. It opens admission to many who are unprepared to attend higher ed. Well, and Dr. Donna, on top of that, what kind of message does it send to them, right? You know, you look at all the problems that the kids these days are facing, and, you know, it is unrealistic for them to expect that, number one, that they can go on yoga breaks all the time during work. We're seeing the job situation turn around, right? All of a sudden, it's becoming more of an employer's market than an employee's market. They're in for a rude awakening there. You know, when you take a loan out for your Tesla, you have to pay that back. The federal government doesn't step in and say, oh, that's okay, little Julie. We know you're kind of struggling with some, you know, depression issues. So, you know, go ahead and smoke some more pot and don't work. Do the quiet quitting and we'll just pay off your loans. I mean, it just sends this horrible message that you can borrow thousands of dollars and then just don't have to pay it back. And the good point here too, Dr. Donna, 40% in Colorado graduate below the grade level. Okay, we have Jacob. Oh, okay, he was calling in. Hey, Jacob, I thought you were raising your hand on Zoom, but go ahead. No, go ahead and weigh in here.
My computer went wacky. The way it works is like this. If you get a degree, let's say you majored in horticulture and you got a master's in it, they would the government will lend you more money than if you were going to medical school. Medical school, they'll lend you up to $200,000, and the horticulturist master's, they'll lend you up to $300,000 because they know that you can't pay it back on a degree from a horticulturist, while you can with a doctor. The second thing was is that the school saw this massive amount of money coming from the government.
Right.
And they said, well, we could just raise our tuition because the government's never going to put a check on that. And people will borrow and borrow and borrow and graduate and then be in debt.
Right. And then, it destroys the whole concept of like anything, you know, the supply and demand and the free market, right? You can't really blame the universities if they're like, if the government's going to give people as much money as they need to go to college and then tell them, oh, and by the way, you don't have to pay it off. I mean, we all know what's going on with college tuitions. And why do we think that is? It's because, like you said, they know the money's going to be there.
Correct. And the other thing is that I'm looking at it as a vote grabbing thing.
Yeah.
How many people are going to get the $10,000 credit from the government? Let's say 20 million. Like you said, there's 20 million people that needed to, but then there's 100 million people that didn't go to college because either they became, pipe fitters or plumbers or whatever, or they paid off their loan.
Right.
They're not going to vote for this guy again.
No.
That's why I don't understand the vote getting thing.
No, I don't either. I think it's just, I agree with you, you know, and I think I have some sound bites to play you late or play here in a little bit, excuse me, that say that exact thing, that this is it makes this progressive base happy. You know, it always, I would imagine, follow the money. Maybe if you're a university, you know, we've been seeing college enrollment has been going down after the pandemic, right? So maybe they're like, hey, you know, we need to boost this up. Here's the other question I have, though, because I had this happen with a family member. So, and they didn't have a loan because we were paying for the college, or my dad was, I won't mention my sister's name. But anyway, so she was going to college, but she wasn't going to college, right? She was partying and my dad didn't find that out until, of course, you know, back then the parents could get the grades and they're like, wait a minute. So, I mean, what is there to say to stop me from going and getting, like you said, the maximum loan that I can get, not even bothering to go to college? I mean, I guess I could enroll, but never go to college and just keep that money and spend it anyway, right?
Right. Well, there was that question that the man posed to, what's her name, the Senator Warren, Elizabeth Warren. She goes, I scraped and saved and paid off my daughter's loan or paid for her tuition. Do I get my money back? And she turned around and said, no.
No,
just
exactly
like
not.
No.
And you know what? And I'm going to let you go because you segued perfectly. Yeah. That's one of the sound bites I have. Jacob, thank you for your call. Hey,
bye.
Thank you. And if we could please play the parent to Elizabeth Warren, the student loan soundbite, please.
I was hoping to just wear a question.
So you're going to pay for people who didn't save any money, and those of us that did the right thing get screwed.
No, it's not even like that.
Of course we did. My buddy had fun, bought a car, went on vacations. I saved my money. He made more than I did. But I worked a double shift, worked extra. My daughter works, she's 10. So you're laughing. Yeah,
I mean, so that's a little hard to hear, but he's just saying exactly what Jacob said. He said, I worked hard, scraped and saved to pay for my daughter's college education. When I went to college, I had a buddy. We both graduated with debt, and my buddy didn't bother paying it back. He screwed around, spent his money. I worked hard, sacrificed, paid it off. So now I'm getting screwed. And Elizabeth Warren's like, well, I appreciate that. I mean, it is just incredibly unfair. And again, what they're doing is they're taking the money from the poor people, right? Or the poorer people, and they're giving it basically to the richer people, and the rest of us have to pay for it. Here's another one too, because we can get into how on earth can Biden do this, right? You would think that just seems kind of weird. Well, it turns out back in April, Nancy Pelosi said he couldn't do it. If we could have the Nancy Pelosi soundbite, please.
Of the United States. Is this more on the subject than you ever want to know? Will you let me know? People think that the President of the United States has the power for debt forgiveness. He does not. He can postpone. He can delay. But he does not have that power. That has to be an act of Congress.
Oh, he doesn't have that power. It turns out he does have that power. At least he's just taking that power. Apparently, what he's doing is he's using a debt cancellation law that was covered after 9/11, that you could cancel debt in the cases of emergencies, military actions, et cetera, et cetera. And so they're saying, well, the emergency here is COVID. They're going to be using that forever, right? And fortunately, they've got 87,000 new IRS agents to make sure that the rest of us pay more taxes so that they can finish canceling the debt from these rich people. The entitlement here is astonishing. Even Mitch McConnell, which is saying a lot, is calling it a slap in the face to the people who have worked hard and paid their bills and done things the right way. He said, you know, that's bad. I'm surprised at Mitch McConnell. I don't know why. He probably didn't get the memo or something like that from the Uniparty that he's supposed to be for this. Hey, we've got Johnny on line one. Hey, Johnny, thanks for calling to the Chuck and Julie show.
Yeah, back in Denver from Estonia and Moscow, Russia, and I got out of there without getting arrested.
Oh, good for you.
Now, I heard earlier, and I don't know if you covered this already, that the Black Caucus wanted him to give up $50,000.
Right.
But he's not going to. So he said, I guess their assumption was, we got you the black vote, so this is what you owe me. And I guess Biden just gave him the finger and said, no, $10,000 is as much as you guys are going to get.
Right. And because I read a thing, the NAACP is mad about this. I'm not sure why $50,000 that, I mean, because as I understand it, in the research that I did, Johnny, most people actually, I think, between somewhere around, you know, that $20,000-ish. You know, there are not that many people out there with these massive grants. But let me ask you this. Do you think it's going to end here? Do you think this is going to be a one-time cancellation? And do you think they won't go higher every single other time?
Well, I mean, they're going to do their poll testing and see if this sways their points in the poll. And if it does, then they'll say, well, hey, it worked that time. Let's do it again
and
up the price.
Right.
It's almost like they never stop the money. They just keep refunding it and refunding it.
Right, exactly. And in the end, though, it's all our taxpayer dollar. I mean, $300 billion, it seems, is what it's going to cost taxpayers. I mean, that's the kind of money you can just give that to everybody, right? I mean, give people some money and say, here, and it might make them happier. Because to me, the other thing I think this just, it just sends such a bad message to people starting off a career. And again, I think if I'm going to college now, I'm happily assuming whatever debt I want and assuming I'm not ever going to pay it off. I mean, who's going to make you, right? And it's just bad on so many levels. And again, it's just so unfair to the people who paid their bills to suddenly just say, because it's an election year and you're trying to figure out how to get some votes, okay, you guys don't have to pay your bills. And again, those being the people who are most able to pay the bills.
So, and then if we get, if it's a red wave, if we reverse it, then now we're the bad guys.
Yeah, good point.
Because we're saying be responsible.
Right. Well, good. Well, that's absolutely true. Good point. I mean, well, we all know government just doesn't work that way, right? Once something gets in place, it never gets undone. At a certain point, again, it doesn't address the issues. When you are giving the universities essentially free money, and when you're telling them, hey, charge whatever you want, the government will pay it, and you're telling students, attend whatever school you want, get whatever kind of loan you want, do whatever you want with the money, and you're not going to ever have to pay it back. All that does is make the whole education system worse rather than better. So, yeah, I think you're right. They're going to poll test it. What do you think? Do you think more people are going to be for it or more people are going to be against it?
The 81 million
right.
who right. so-called voted for him will probably be for it, but the ones that are that voted for Trump, I have a feeling that
yeah, those people are not
going another direction. No, it's going to go other way.
That's absolutely right. Hey, Johnny, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you. Hey, 888-627-6008 is the number. 627-6008. If you're on Zoom, go ahead and open your mic or go ahead and type the comments. This is from Leo. I would call it an emergency if you spent 4 years getting a gender studies degree. And then Jacob, and in 2030, everybody will be forced to buy electric cars. Yeah. See California, see Ford Motors, who laid off 3,000 employees. That's right, because they're going to build electric cars, even though we don't have enough batteries to go around for that. But hey, never mind that. And then Dr. Donna, says Jacob is at Ford, who raised the price of their EVs by $8,000. And coincidentally, there's a government subsidy of $8,000. And from Charlene, I don't think the NAACP is mad at all posturing to make you think communism is encroaching incrementally and that 10,000 is not enough. The gate is now open. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Charlene. I think you're right. They're just complaining because they didn't get more free stuff. But it does, as Dr. Donna pointed out, I think it cheapens the degree. I mean, and I think colleges and universities, you got to ask yourself even, why are people even going to college anymore? But it also seems unfair that, okay, well, if you've had to take out a loan, well, number one, if you have to take out, I'm going to back up. They give you this impression, and I think they do it because they want you to assume that everything is outrageously expensive, and that's why we need all these bailouts. So I put Jenny through college. That was a few years ago, but I tell you what, it wasn't billions of dollars. It wasn't outrageously expensive. Yes, I saved ever since she was a little girl, but she took, what do they call them? AP classes at Front Range Community College. She did things and she took them at classes at community college that she could get credit for at CU. So there are a lot of things you can do to save money and make college not as expensive. And I would say that it doesn't have to be outrageously expensive. They just like us to think, well, it's outrageously expensive because they keep raising their tuition, but the project isn't getting better. The project isn't costing them any more money. They could do it at much lower levels, and people could afford it. College in many ways is affordable. And I think, you know, and then you have community colleges, you've got trade schools to just say, well, we're just going to pay off the elite graduate degree records. Again, I go back to, more than two-thirds of the people in the country don't go to a four-year college. Of the people who go to the four-year college, only 13% go on to graduate school. But 50% of the student loan debt that's out there is held by the people in graduate school who have the graduate degrees. So again, we're talking your doctors, your lawyers, we're talking the people who are most likely to be able to pay it off. And in essence, too, when I was working at the TV station, I was kind of surprised what would happen is there were a lot of younger, just out of college reporters there, several of whom had graduate degrees. Now, the reason they had graduate degrees is they couldn't get a job, but they could get a loan. So they couldn't get a job to go out and join the workforce and actually get some experience and start earning money. So what they did is they went to graduate school, got more debt, and then finally were able to get out and get a job. You do not need a graduate degree, I can tell you that right now, to be a TV reporter in Denver. I knew many great TV reporters who didn't even have a college degree, right? It's a kind of thing, experience, common sense, you know, some technical skill, but that's what they encourage people to do. And again, it all happens because you get this free money and now you don't even have to pay it back. It's just, it is just so rotten and so unfair. And I want to pay one more soundbite. Some of the things we're talking about were pointed out. Fox had a little bit of a panel discussion and Kimberly Strasser from the Wall Street Journal made a great point. So if we could please play the panel discussion soundbite. Or not Thomas on the other. Hey, is anybody there? The panel discussion soundbite? You know that BBS guys are working for. There you go. Thank you.
You know, there are Democrats like Senator Leahy who have real concerns about this, let alone the money and the possibility of inflation going up because of this, but also the politics of this and somebody paying off essentially a loan that other people have paid or other people who haven't gone to college.
Yeah, I find this really crazy politics. So they just passed the Inflation Reduction Act. It was this win, according to them. They can go out and make the case that they are reducing inflation or helping the environment, tenuous though that argument may be. This, though, this is just not a political winner. This is something they're doing for their progressive base. They're going to get accused of giving money to higher earners. There's very serious concerns that this is going to directly inflate tuition costs even more, add to inflation. Those are not messages that any Democrats should want to be taking into the midterms. And so I find this very questionable from a politics perspective.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about that too. So we'll keep on the college thing. And let me just read a couple more comments. This is from Charlene. Admissions must be declining significantly. I think they have been, Charlene. And then from Dr. Donna, Jacob, I think they know, she's talking about indoctrinating people in college. I think they know that it keeps people at home. OSD voted last night approving an online program, which they said several times was not indicative of anything. Yeah, sure. I'm not sure what you mean there by Dr. Donis, but and so feel free to unmute yourself and talk if you want. And Charlene, I said this too, plumbers are now paying for lawyers to get their degrees. Because do you think anybody is ever going to pay off? And this is, okay, Rudy Giuliani. Oh, Rudy Giuliani is calling in to be a host of his own show. oh, okay. Never mind. The BBS guys are sending me a message. I'm sorry there. it is one of those things that is bizarre in how the Democrat Party has become the party of the elites and the Karens and the intolerant people. And the Republican Party is more and more becoming the party of the working middle class American. And I wanted to talk about something else there too, because notice you got to always be aware of the psyops they do on us. Okay. All of a sudden now you're seeing all of these stories, even in Fox News and even in some of the conservative sites. Oh no, is the rev wave going to crash? Is the Washington Examiner, the rev wave is crashing? Is it talking about how, oh, all of a sudden, you know, the Republicans were giddy going into the midterms and now, oh no, it's not looking that good. And they'll show polls that say this or polls to say that. Oh, there was an interesting poll in Colorado that show both Joe O'Dea and Michael Bennett, Joe O'Dea being within 5 points of Michael Bennett, Heidi Gnaw being within 5 points of Jared Polis. So granted, that's not a red wave, but I think that's indicative of something. I don't think Jared Polis or Michael Bennett thought maybe a year ago that they would be, that things were going to be that close. But so you see these polls where they talk about, you know, generic poll, would you vote Democrat or Republican for Congress or Senate, blah, blah, blah. And all of the media are pushing this narrative now that it's getting closer and closer and closer. Now, on one hand, I think that's kind of good. I think it would be foolish for Republicans to sort of rest on their laurels and say, oh, it's going to be easy. You know, we don't have to worry about anything. It's piece of cake. We're going to win hands down. On the other hand, though, don't let them psych you out. Don't let them fool you. And don't believe their fake news. Let's just look at some other polls. Okay. And some of the, and Dr. Donna, I see you. So let me just finish this thought and then we'll get to you. And some of their other polls, you've got the vast majority of Americans say they're worse off under Joe Biden. They say the country, the vast number of Americans say the country is on the wrong track. So I think that people are going to be, that's the kind of thing they're going to be considering when they go to vote in the midterms. They're not talking about generic this or generic that. And then you add in the fact that almost always in the midterms, whatever the condition in the country, the party that is not the president's party tends to do well. So don't buy into this narrative that they're all starting to push now that, oh no, you know, the Mar-a-Lago thing, people all of a sudden hate Donald Trump. Not true at all. Okay, Dr. Donna, I see you got your hand raised. Go ahead.
Hi. It's hey. Just clear up my my comment. It was Pooter sure. School District, and I typed an O instead of a P. But
oh.
they, Yeah, they voted to a program for online learning. And they said, oh, no, this doesn't mean we're going to close things down again. Then why vote on it? So,
yeah. Now, who's they? Who's they?
Oh, Hooter School District.
Oh, okay. So they were pushing a program for online learning, and they're trying to say, oh, we're not going to close anything down. But like you said, so if you're not going to close anything down, why do you need online learning, right?
Right. And then I have to find out if my opponent actually helped write a law where the school district could meet in secret and select a superintendent.
In secret?
Yeah.
Well, that's always a good idea. Yeah. That's just do everything in secret, because we know how well that works out. Yeah. Well, what do you make of this student loan? It's not really student loan forgiveness. It's student loan transferring the payment from them to us. I mean, what do you make of it?
It's just going to raise the price of education, and it's going to make it worthless, because if everybody has a college degree, they have to dumb it down quite a bit for everybody to be able to do it. Because college degree is supposed to be something, it says something about you. You've done some extra work. You're a little above, just getting through high school.
And I think they've already dumbed it down, right? I mean, SAT scores and ACT scores, admissions tests, things like that, those are racist. So we can't do that anymore, right? We can't grade people so much anymore, because that's racist. So it's going to be like a participation trophy, basically. And why? I mean, you got to think of it. When you went to college, at least not back then, when you went to college, the whole point of getting a degree was to get a better paying job. And so you could pay off your student loans, right? But if you know your student loans are going to be paid off, why on earth would you even bother going to class? I mean, you had to go to class to graduate. I just see it destroying the college experience and the whole point of college education. Why should you even go to class if you're never going to have to pay off the loan anyway? Just keep going to college. Keep getting your 80th master's degree in something, right? And you just keep getting loans forever.
They already do that with the Pell Grant, because if you qualify for a Pell Grant, I don't know how many people know that most of those students, they hardly ever go to class, and they have to have so many semesters of, below a C before they get, kind of like a reprimand, but they're still allowed to go, and they just blow their money.
Right. I mean, so that's what I would do. I mentioned say that, but I mean, why wouldn't you? And again, it teaches so many bad lessons. It's like, do you think the credit card companies are going to forgive their, whatever your Nordstrom charge? No, it's bad financial training. And you know what? And I'll let you go now, unless there was anything else you wanted to say.
Nope, that's good for right now.
Okay. So, and here's what they're focusing on in college. I mean, that's what they should teach kids. And actually, they do a little bit. I know Rev did a program with the Children's Bank, whatever that former Bill Danielson is, where they went and they had to, they had to have a budget. They did a field trip that was actually pretty cool. But, we got a note from the school, and we have a great charter school, but they're sending home surveys, and they're going to be asking the kids in the surveys what they want their pronouns to be, right? Now, our school is great because we could weigh in on whether we wanted to have that question asked or just not even seen. So we said we don't even want to see it. But on an encouraging note, so as depressing as that is, on an encouraging note, I asked Rev, I'm like, do you want to answer that question or what do you think? And he goes, no. He said, pronouns are stupid. That was exactly his words. He said, the only people who talk about it are the drama queen girls. And he said, boys just play basketball. So I have hope with this younger generation, right? They're going to be common sense. I think this whole pronoun thing is going to run its course. And you're going to have these younger kids take over. They may not be able to go to college, but on the other hand, at least they recognize when things are stupid and meaningless. So that's a good thing. Let me, from Charlene, maybe go to college to learn to be a zombie. There you go. And then from Sandra, when push comes to shove, the people we need are electricians, plumbers, auto mechanics, people who can fix things. Sorry, not somebody with a college degree. And Jake, yeah, we played that soundbite not even 2 years ago in April. Pelosi said Biden forgiving loans was unconstitutional. But fortunately, we've had COVID. So now COVID lets us do anything we want. But back to the red wave crashing. I just want to, again, keep everybody in the real world here. Don't buy into the fake news. I mean, most people even anymore believe, and that's like not just Republicans, but that the news is politically biased and doesn't have anything to do with reality or very little to do with reality. Or maybe you should just believe the opposite of whatever it says. But the Revway crashing, I mean, Republicans have to work hard. And Republicans have to have good candidates, not rhinos, right? If you're, you know, people get all upset when we call them rhinos. And I'm like, well, then don't be a rhino. Hello. You know, have some, stand for principles, stand for conservative values, say the truth, talk about election integrity, talk about, you know, stand again. I mean, like I said, even Mitch McConnell is like this whole student loan, you know, Robin Hood, robbing the poor to pay the rich is a slap in the face to people. So Republican candidates have to do their work and they have to do their part, but don't buy the Democrats and the Democrat puppet media saying, oh no, the, you know, everybody, it's all bad on Trump, all bad about Trump. I guarantee you, not very many people care. Well, let me put it this way. The people who care about Mar-a-Lago and the raid there are people like us who see it as outrageous and outrageously, you know, an abuse by the FBI. You have the Democrats who also see it as an abuse of power by the FBI, but don't care because that's what the FBI is for, as far as they're concerned. And then you got a lot of people in the middle. And I suspect that, and this, I'm just basing this on people I have conversations with. In general, I don't think people like the FBI raiding a former president's house to get a bunch of presidential records. If you're going to raid the president's house, he better have a human trafficking smuggling ring going on in the basement, right? But this kind of technicality stuff, I think people, number one, they're not particularly concerned about it. And I think that in general, more people than not have a respect for the office of the presidency. But I would also suspect, and let me know if you disagree, that the majority of people, it's kind of like the Russia collusion thing, right? It is a huge deal. It was a big deal. It continues to be a big deal. But most people are like, well, it's kind of confusing. I don't really care about it. It doesn't affect me. I'm more worried about crime and inflation. So, you know, the Democrats are like, oh, we're going to win because of abortion. Again, I think more people are concerned about inflation and crime and all of the bad things that are happening under Biden. I think the student loan thing is going to be one of those bad things that's happening under Biden. So don't buy when they tell you the red wave is going to crash and the Democrats are going to surge. We have to do our work, but I think, well, we have to watch election integrity. I think that's maybe what they're hoping with. Oh, from Jacob, the gang of eight wants to see the Mar-a-Lago documents. Of course they do. Of course they do. Here's from Jacob. Oh, I'm going to go back up first. An update from Peg Cage. And thank you, Peg. Julie, I talked with Kevin Lundberg just before the show. Oh, okay. If everybody wants to get a pen, I can give you an address if you want to send him a card. Also, I think if you were to go to the sign up for the Lundberg Report, you could probably pop him an email too. But if you're on Zoom, Peg has put the address there in chat. If you're not on Zoom, I'm going to read the address for Kevin Lundberg. He had that horrible accident, but he's okay. But they had to reattach four of his fingers and it's going to be a tough recovery. Kevin Lundberg's address is P.O. Box 378, Berthoud, Colorado, 80513. That's P.O. Box 378, Berthoud. That's B-E-R-T-H-O-U-D. And the zip is 80513. Now back up to Charlene's comment. Is it okay to call Kevin Priola a rhino now? It is okay. And actually some happening on that front. So as you know, Kevin Priola, the traitor, snake rhino, who voted consistently with the Democrats in the Colorado legislature. He voted to get rid of Tabor. He voted to reduce fentanyl to like not even really being a crime. He voted to have safe injection sites. I mean, you name, we're not just talking, you know, maybe supporting some kind of wishy-washy immigration chamber of commerce causes. No, he voted yes on some of the most extremely radical progressive ideas. Well, he announced he's becoming a Democrat, which the Democrats control the Colorado House, or the Colorado Senate. This would give them more. But it's pretty interesting now. There has been a recall launched against him. Chrissy Burton Brown, who kept her mouth shut all the time he was voting traitorously, but did the other day come out with a statement calling his decision shameful. She has now issued another statement saying that they support the recall petition that has been filed against Priola. She says, Kevin Priola lied to the voters and broke the trust of those who elected him. He does not represent the views of voters in SD 13. They deserve to choose whether or not they want to be represented by a Democrat who has a record of raising taxes on working families and supporting drug injection sites. The Colorado GOP fully stands with the citizens working to recall Kevin Priola. Now, here's a little twist to understand, because if you read it, it took me a little bit to sort this out. So Kevin Priola currently is a state senator from Adams County, Senate District 25. However, in January, he will be sworn in the new redistricting District 13. So under the rules, they couldn't change it until January. So he is going to be sworn in District 13. Two Weld County citizens took out the petition saying, hey, we never even voted for this guy. And now that he's a Democrat, this is totally wrong. Kind of an interesting twist, so I'm not sure what to make of this, and see what you guys think. So the petition is being supported, which means funded, by something called Advance Colorado. Advance Colorado, basically. Okay, it's being supported by something called Advance Colorado Action, which is essentially a wing of Advance Colorado, which is run by Michael Fields of Americans for Prosperity fame and former 18th Judicial District DA George Brockler. I don't always agree with Michael Fields and George Brockler, but I do think it's a good idea that they're going to recall him. If they recall him, then what will happen is they'll put a Republican back in there, right? Otherwise, it goes to a Democrat. So they recall him and you do that. So we'll keep you posted on how that goes. It's kind of complicated when the election would be. I think he has to be sworn in. First, they need to get roughly, I think, 13,000 signatures, which should be a piece of cake, I would think. And then I think he has to be sworn in, and then they would hold the recall. But at least Chrissy Burton Brown, you know, I'm not as anti-Chrissy Burton Brown as Chuck is and some other people. At least she's saying the right things on that. I do wish, however, that she had weighed in on it earlier. This is from Charlene. Priola should have been censored by the GOP, Colorado GOP, long ago. KBB is just covering her backside now because the GOP is so lethargic. Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, Kevin Priola for years has had, you know, an F rating. I mean, he's voted with all of the Democrats. The only thing, I mean, there are probably some votes he did with the Republicans, but I mean, he clearly was supporting the Democrats. He, you know, they're thrilled. They're like, we welcome him into our caucus. Now, there was some thought maybe he's doing it because he wants to get a chairmanship. Maybe he's doing it because now the Democrats would hold 24 seats as opposed to 23, which would be harder to overtake in the midterm elections. Although I kind of think three is going to be hard anyway. But either way, I think it's very good news that there has been a recall petition submitted for him. What else did I want? There was some other stuff. Oh, one other thing too. Oh, Brockler in Colorado. Well, there you go, Charlene. Brockler and company will just put another rhino in. That indeed could be what is going on there, right? That if you don't recall him, a real Republican might run for the seat. And there are some people, the more rhino-y wing. I mean, I wouldn't call them full-blown rhinos. I don't know. I'd have to think about that. But I think there's certainly more establishment than grassroots. And you're right, maybe this is their attempt, because when you put the recall in, I think you put in also who you would vote for. So that could be their attempt to control that too before somebody else jumps in. One of the other things I wanted to talk about too was Marjorie Taylor Greene. So the IRS, let me back up a second. The IRS has announced that it is launching a security review of some 600 of its facilities after right-wing threats. They are concerned that white right-wing extremists are going to start targeting IRS agents. The IRS agents are completely concerned about this. So the IRS is launching a security review of its facilities. Remember, guys, I've been saying this. Be on the alert. This is a bolo. be on the lookout for, they are going to continue to use this right-wing extremist, right? We're not white nationalists anymore. They dropped that because that didn't work. Instead, we're just right-wing domestic extremists. And if we're right-wing domestic extremists, and if we're under a COVID emergency still, allowing Joe Biden to do whatever he wants with the student loan laws, he can do whatever he wants with any other laws, they're going to start targeting people who disagree with them, people who don't take the blue pill, who insist on taking the red pill, insist on telling the truth, and they're going to target them. And that's why they're launching this, you know, they have to do a review of their secure facilities, you know, because their armed IRS agents aren't going to be able to protect themselves when they go after small landscaping companies because it's so dangerous out there because of all the right-wing extremists. So they're doing that. In the meantime, though, they don't care that somebody's trying to kill conservative Supreme Court judges. That's all okay. They don't care that people are protesting outside of their houses. They don't care that Rand Paul gets attacked. And they don't care that people are now going after Marjorie Taylor Greene at her house. She reported swatted last night. At first I was like, what? But then I realized, so what happened is somebody did a fake 911 call that was designed to draw the SWAT team to Marjorie Taylor Greene's house, which would be a nightmare. And apparently that is something that some of the left-wing extremists have been doing, where they'll make a fake report, a fake crime at one of their opponents' homes. And so then the SWAT team gears up and they do a SWAT raid, which of course is extremely dangerous, right? Because they do no-knock raids. If you, particularly if you have no idea, if you're just in your house sleeping and all of a sudden the doors burst in, I mean, there are any number of things that could go wrong with that. So that was what was being done to Marjorie Taylor Greene. Now, can you imagine if that was being done to AOC? Can you imagine if that was being done to, you know, I mean, we've got the FBI doing fake raids on Donald Trump. What on earth is to stop them from saying, oh, a fake call to Marjorie Taylor Greene? Let's go raid her house. And while we're there, seize all of her cell phone and records too. I mean, it's just ridiculous. The two tiers here. And I am particularly worried about the IRS because the IRS and their threats, I believe they're gearing up to go after right-wing people. They're gearing up to go after people who don't toe the official line, their official narrative. And then they're going to say, well, you're an extremist. So now we have to arrest you. We're going to throw criminal charges at you. I mean, the IRS can be such an administrative quagmire that it can be very difficult. And instead of, you know, having a court-appointed attorney, you're going to have to hire yourself an accountant, things like that. I mean, they're going to make it very hard, and they're going to continue to make it very hard to be somebody who speaks the truth in this country. You've got Facebook gearing up to censor things. You've got TikTok setting up election centers, which is bizarre since it's all controlled by the Chinese, which is interesting if you think about it. You've got Twitter saying they're going to be censoring things. They're gearing up. They're not going to have it in time for the midterms, but I also think that's why they're kind of talking about the red wave crashing, because they want to set the stage saying, see, look, I mean, when the election integrity goes out the window and the Democrats win, they're going to be, see, we've been telling you this all along. Let me see some other comments. Let's see. If there are any threats, you can bet they're being done by Antifa, just like January 6th, a rally that was infiltrated by Antifa. That's right, Sandra. Not only infiltrated by Antifa, but infiltrated by the FBI, right? The FBI infiltrated that. So, and then from Leo, IRS versus lemonade stands and kids with lawnmowers. Exactly. And then Peg Cage said, oh, that's right, Leo, I forgot about that. That's right. I mean, you know, it's all, and they're going to say, well, now you're threatening us. So they're going to make it somehow very difficult to fight any kind of IRS challenge, right? And again, I think it is no accident. They're forgiving the debts of the elite, right? They're going to put that kind of payment, that kind of financial burden on the backs of the rest of us. They're going to make college tuition go up even higher, because why wouldn't it? And I just keep saying, you can't just keep printing money and printing money. I mean, $300 billion, right? Sooner or later, the piper has to be paid. Sooner or later, sooner or later, it does. I mean, and who's that going to be? Who's going to, you know, and you can bet that all these elites who've had their college degrees paid for by the rest of us, right? It's not going to be them who are doing it. You know, you've got these hedge funds, all these billionaires, that the gap is getting its it's not just millionaires anymore, it's billionaires, and they control so much of speech and technology and communication and access. And you know, and the IRS and the government, and the media, most of the media are just they're puppets. So not to be depressing, I guess that's kind of depressing. Hey, that's going to kind of, let's see. From Sandra, don't forget Obama's IRS had Lois Lerner targeting the Tea Party. Oh, exactly. They've already done it. So they're going to do it again. That is going to do it for us. On Friday, don't forget, I have a Party Friday video that just made me laugh out loud. I hope you guys like it. I hope you like it. I'm going to start trying to do that. Leo, that's for you. Chuck will be back on Friday. Thank you to the great guys at BBS, to everybody on Zoom. Remember, you can catch all our shows in whatever format, Rumble, Podbean, Spotify, Alexa, you name it. Just go to chuckandjulie.com. There are links to all of that. And we will see you all on Party Friday. Everybody have a great rest of your week.